Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues. Today's Issues, the name of this program here on the American Family Radio Network. Thank you for listening. I am Tim Wildman with Walker Wildman. Ed Battagliano is not here today, so Walker's filling in for him. Good morning, Walker.
Good morning. Good to be on with everybody.
And Fred Jackson, news director for American Family Radio and OneNewsNow.com. Good morning, Fred.
Good to be with you on a very busy news day.
Very busy. We got a lot of stuff to talk about happening right now. In fact, in Washington, D.C., in Congress, a hearing that we're going to talk about. But Walker, before we do that, should there be fellow Americans out there who want to watch the show and or participate with other listeners, viewers, how can they do that?
Yeah, if you want to watch the show, watch the radio show, you can do that, and you can do it two different ways. You can do it on Facebook. Just go to our Today's Issues Facebook page, and you can watch the show live there.
Hasn't been banned.
When it's airing, hasn't been banned yet. And then the second option there, in case we're not on Facebook for some reason, is YouTube. Type in Today's Issues on YouTube, watch the show there. Lastly, if you just want to listen, you can visit our website, afr.net, and listen live.
I was... A side note to what Walker did, and we were just having fun about, of course, Facebook is not known for their conservative views, to say the least. But we here on American Family Radio, now other parts of our ministry, we've had some trouble with Facebook in terms of, you know, they put us in timeout a couple times and so forth. By timeout, I mean, you know, they take down your page or whatever because they didn't like something you said. That has happened, what, two times over the last 10 years or so?
Yeah.
Not very much. But I was reading a story, Fred, on the Facebook monitors, if that's what you want. Is that what you call them?
Yeah, there's thousands of them.
Yeah, they're hired, and they're there to make sure that people who use Facebook comply with Facebook rules and regulations.
Referees.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Facebook's a private company. They're, you know, I would do the same thing if I were them. Because you don't want people using your product to promote something that's illegal, for example. But anyway, this whole story was about the people who do monitor, hired to monitor for Facebook, and they're almost all in their 20s, early 30s. And so... with liberal views. And so, anyway, that doesn't surprise me now when I know this, and that's what we suspected. They're younger people with more liberal views. They don't like things conservatives say sometimes, and they say, well, that's a hateful thing to say. I'm going to, you know, turn Facebook off for you for a week or two or whatever like that. So, but anyway, I thought that was interesting. There was no... You know, there's no 65-year-old grandmas being a Facebook monitor, okay? So I guess we suspected that all along. Well, folks, we got great guests coming up. We got so much stuff to talk about. Fred, what's happening in our nation's capital today?
As we speak, Michael Cohen, President Trump's former personal attorney, who is on his way to prison very shortly for pleading guilty to lying to the Internal Revenue Service, about the taxes he owed for lying to financial institutions and lying to Congress, is before a Democrat-controlled House Committee on Oversight and Reform, and he is spewing hatred against President Donald Trump, basically calling him a racist, a liar, con man, all down the list.
This is his former personal attorney?
This is his former personal
for how many attorney. Years, I wonder?
Many years, long before even he started to think, President Trump did, started to think about running for office. But I've just been listening prior to coming into the studio Mr. Cohen has a good memory because he's remembering conversations from years ago about what President Trump allegedly said about things.
Right.
It's quite amazing.
Well, what's the purpose, Walker? And what's the purpose and point of, I mean, when Congress takes time, we're going to hear some clips from there. When Congress takes an opportunity to hear from people.
Right.
There's a purpose and a point
to
it. And I'm sure Democrats would say there is to this too, but it appears to me from what I've seen this morning, and this wouldn't be that, it just appears to me this is just an opportunity for Michael Cohen to be salacious and say things that are...
This is about the Democrats taking every opportunity they can while they control the House of Representatives. They control all the committees, all the hearings. This is just another chance to bring somebody before Congress that's just going to bash Trump. Bash Trump for 2 or 3 hours.
But this guy has credibility in bashing Trump because this was his former attorney who had a personal relationship with him for years. So I'm not for... You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I do think that this is just not some person off the street.
Yeah. No. This is someone who worked very closely with President Trump
right.
for years, for over a decade. So there is some credibility there, but the fellow's going to jail for lying to Congress.
Okay. So he's discredited in that. Right.
So he's been discredited. Now, that doesn't mean that he's lying
right.
when he's telling these things to Congress. But at the end of the day, we knew all this stuff.
Right.
We knew all this stuff. And as far as whether, you know, President Trump didn't pay $30 in taxes 20 years ago, the FBI can find crimes on every American citizen. If you do enough digging into financials, you will find $2 here, $3 there that weren't paid in taxes. So as far as all the bookkeeping goes, that's nothing new. And then as far as President Trump not being faithful to his wife, all of these things were factored in 2016. We all knew that Donald Trump morally wasn't really that good of a guy in his past.
Right.
But we were up against a baby killer versus someone who said that they were going to save unborn children.
Somebody in favor of killing.
Yeah,
of,
Hillary of abortion. Clinton.
Well, and it was that, and it was a lot more than that. It was the future of
Supreme
our country.
Supreme Court.
And I think a lot of things factored in. I think people figured President Trump had... in the last 10 years had maybe wasn't as, what would you say, flamboyant
right.
as maybe he was in the past. But yeah, he was, you know, everybody sort of baked in President Trump's past.
But to the point about the hearings, I've never been a big fan of the hearings, and here's why. They have no teeth to them. They bring the folks, even Republicans do this, they bring people in, they argue back and forth for 3 or 4 hours, make a big deal on television, and then nothing happens. And even when they lie to Congress. So Michael Cohen's going to jail for lying to Congress, but James Comey lied to Congress, Andrew McCabe lied to Congress, John Brennan lied to Congress, and nothing ever happens to them. Remember Lois Lerner with the IRS?
Yeah.
She came in there, gave an opening statement, and said, I'm not going to answer any more questions.
Mm-hmm.
Fifth Amendment.
I don't know. So this sounds like just... It just sounds like to me a guy's just sort of dishing whatever he wants to say on.
Oh, sure, and the Democrats are loving this.
Oh yeah,
they're absolutely loving this.
Yeah.
Now, one of the
there's a chance they would be in favor of Trump had Michael Cohen not said these things about him, right, Fred?
Yeah.
Okay.
Jim Jordan, Republican. Uh-huh. From Ohio, is one of the representatives on that committee, Republican representative. Mm-hmm. And he let his concerns be known to the Democrats this morning about what is the point of all these hearings. Cut number 13.
Here we go. Your first big hearing, your first announced witness, Michael Cohen. I want everyone in this room to think about this. The first announced witness for the 116th Congress is a guy who is going to prison in 2 months for lying to Congress. Mr. Chairman, your chairmanship will always be identified with this hearing.
Who's he talking to? Who's the
he's
chairman?
Talking to the chairman of the committee, Republican Elijah Cummings.
Republican.
Democrat.
Democrat Elijah Cummings.
So Elijah Cummings, a Democrat,
mm-hmm.
He's the one that chairs this committee and called this witness?
Yes. First witness for this committee.
That was, I got to give it up to Jim Jordan. That was a great opening statement. Mm-hmm. Why would Walker, why would Elijah Cummings call?
Here's the thing. Republicans have held Congress, both chambers of Congress, the past 2 years. So there actually has been this Russia investigation in Congress, surprisingly. Republicans looked into whether Trump, quote, colluded with Russia. We know the answer that he didn't. Mm-hmm. But this is about the Democrats want to basically start back from square one and drag this thing out another 2 years into the 2020 election so they can say that President Trump's still under investigation.
But what it, so, okay, so ostensibly the reason for a Cohen appearing before this committee, this House committee in the first place, is because he's going to provide information that leads to the idea, whatever you want to say it, that President Trump colluded with the Russians.
Yes.
And
President Trump did all other crimes, and he's a immoral man, and he shouldn't be in the White House.
Well, let's listen, because towards the latter part of Cohen's opening statements a few moments ago, he talked about this whole issue of alleged collusion between Trump and the Russians. This is cut number 14. Here's Michael Cohen.
Questions have been raised about whether I know of direct evidence that Mr. Trump or his campaign colluded with Russia. I do not. And I want to be clear, but I have my suspicions.
I have my suspicions. Now, what you didn't hear in this clip, but I happened to be listening to this segment a few minutes ago. All right. He was sitting in the office one day when one of Trump's sons, I think it was Donald Jr., came in, and Donald Trump, candidate, is sitting across a desk. And this is Michael Cohen talking. He said, I saw his son go around and whisper something in his dad's ear. And here's what Cohen said I was able to hear, even though the son was whispering. I heard him say to his dad, the meeting is all set up. And his dad said, all right, let me know how it goes. Cohen prefaced those remarks by saying he thinks the meeting that the son was referring to was a meeting with the Russians to talk about dirt on Hillary, because he had seen an email that had dirt on Hillary. I'm paraphrasing there. So his evidence that he thinks there was collusion was based on a whisper from Donald Trump's son into his dad's ear about a meeting being set up.
Yeah.
Why is he doing this, Walker? As far as Michael Cohen, what's the benefit of doing this?
The benefit to Michael Cohen is to continue to build his name, build his credibility as the one who is exposing the immoral Donald Trump. And the left loves this. I mean, he's going to write a book, even though he's going to jail. He's probably writing a book, and he'll make millions of dollars when he gets out of jail. So there's a lot of political things at stake for Michael Cohen, and he's going to jail. He's discredited amongst any.
But you said there was another reason.
Well, yeah, as far as why he's singing so loudly, so to speak, is because there's reports out there that Michael Cohen's family have committed other kind of crimes, like his father-in-law
allegedly
gave some loans that were illegal and things like that. And so it could be that Michael Cohen is cooperating with Mueller so easily because he doesn't want his family implicated in certain other crimes.
You know what? This is just, as I said, it's just salacious rumor mongering. Don't get me wrong. Some of it may be true. Who knows what Michael Cohen's saying? He did know Mr. Trump, President Trump, for a long time. It's also unsavory to me to have a man who says, "Yeah, I was on the dole. I was on the payroll for years and years and years, and I participated in things I thought were wrong."
Yeah,
I heard him say this. I heard him say that, and none of it's really germane to the Russia collusion idea. And I'm just saying, you know what? You could probably take anybody, almost anybody in the world, in this world of politicians, mm-hmm. all right,
and billionaires
and billionaires and that circle that those people run in. And you have somebody that hangs out with somebody for 10 years or whatever it was.
Yeah.
You know what? You could say anything you wanted to.
Absolutely. Yeah. And remember, we wouldn't even be here had it not been for the Russian hoax. Had it not been for the opposition research by Hillary Clinton and the Robert Mueller investigation that's found no crime, no collusion. If it weren't for that, we would have no Michael Cohen testimony before Congress.
So the bottom line, then, they're in search of something to either A, impeach him for, or B, get what Mueller can't get.
Right.
That from a public testimony when they've been searching for this. Anyway, go ahead, Fred.
One other thing, as I was sitting there watching Cohen make his statement this morning, it's very interesting if you look just over his right shoulder.
Yeah.
Who his lawyer is.
Who is it?
former.
Oh, Lanny Davis.
Lanny Davis, former Hillary Clinton aide.
Yeah.
Now,
what are the chances of that?
Put it all together, folks.
Oh, yeah.
Put it all together.
Yeah. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. In the end, I don't think this hurts or helps President Trump with the people who are against him already or for him already. I think people are seeing this. You know, I just don't. I think from what I've seen and heard today. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. What do you got next, Fred?
Well, our next story is American Family Association is in the news.
Yeah.
And that's about American Association.
Yeah.
Well, warning about something going on at Walmart.
Well, we learned that somebody pointed this out. How many weeks ago?
About 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Somebody pointed out that Walmart on their Facebook page.
Yes, correct.
You tell them, Walker.
Yeah, Walmart around Valentine's Day, about 2 weeks ago, Walmart posted a series of ads on Facebook or videos on Facebook titled Love in the Aisle, which were Valentine's Day themed. One of the ads had two homosexual men doing some kind of, you know, Walmart shopping spree to see how compatible they were when it comes to buying Walmart products. And so it was no doubt a promotion of homosexuality and homosexual relationships. And so that's what the American Family Association is taking action on today. And what we're wanting our supporters to do is to email, call, sign our petition to Walmart and encourage them to pull down this sexually deviant ad from their Facebook page.
Well, the ad is promoting sexual deviancy, which we show in here. Yeah, it's just very disappointing. We've had a pretty good relationship with Walmart over the years. And to their credit, they do listen when we call, but they don't always obviously agree with us. And it's a big corporation, and all big corporations have pressure from the LGBTQ community to just join their side and do everything they can to promote their agenda. But this is, where can people see this, Walker?
Yeah, if you go to our website and you click on the Action Alert tab, you can view the Action Alert. And one way that you can receive these is to sign up for our Action Alerts at our website.
We also have it on our Facebook page. You can watch it for yourself. It isn't subtle at all. It's got two guys in Walmart, and it's celebrating Valentine's, and I guess they're lovers, right?
Yeah. Yeah, no, this what they're trying to do, Walmart and others, Walmart's not the only company. This just one example stood out to us. But what these companies are trying to do, they're trying to normalize homosexuality, and which is not normal. It's not natural. They're trying to normalize homosexuality, put this in the face of our kids on Facebook so that in 10, 20 years...
Is there a warning or anything?
No, there's not a warning.
Okay.
Yeah, this is out and proud homosexual promotion from Walmart.
Right.
That's what this is.
Here's the one thing I haven't been able to figure out. I haven't done the studies myself, but if you look at the demographics of people who shop at Walmart...
Yeah.
I don't think Walmart's customer base includes a very large percentage of people who are in the homosexual lifestyle.
No.
So the question in my mind, why would you risk your reputation
right.
for something like this.
Well, right. As I said, they're a huge corporation, and every Fortune 500 company has the pressure from the inside and from the outside to push this kind of stuff. And and so they're always being, you know.
And some argue that, well, you know, homosexuality was ruled legal by the Supreme Court 3 years ago, and, you know, our country's moving in this direction. Every corporation promotes this. But that you don't have to. You can have homosexuals in ads buying products or are part of the employee promotion program, but this was in your face because the Walmart paired these two homosexuals together, these two men together, to go on a dating spree in Walmart on Valentine's Day. So this is the most blatant and in-your-face move from Walmart.
And that one fella in the ad, you can watch. Folks can watch it for themselves. You've got two men. And, I better just stop right there. All right. You're listening. Go and look at it for yourself. We're not advocating a boycott necessarily of Walmart today based on this. People can if they want to. Obviously, people make choices where to shop all the time for various and different reasons. But we hope that by our folks contacting Walmart, and if you want to say I'm not going to shop with you anymore, they'll hear that too. Mm-hmm. But we hope by people contacting Walmart, Walker, they'll get the message and won't do this again.
Exactly, and that
won't do this again. And you know, again, why do you have to promote a lifestyle this was an online ad. It wasn't on TV.
It was on Facebook.
It was on Facebook.
Yeah.
So our question to Walmart or to any of them is, why do you have to go out of your way to make people know that these are two gay guys?
Mm-hmm.
What? Just sell your Valentine's
right.
ad.
What's next? Transgenders?
Right.
We're gonna drag
have
queens?
Two men in dresses?
Right.
Walking around on Valentine's Day? I mean, it's so unnecessary to do. It just... For us, we've complained to Walmart and let them know. So if people want to take action on this, Walker, mm-hmm. do we have it posted on our
website? They can go to our Facebook page, Today's Issues on Facebook. They can also go to our website, AFR.net. Click on the Action Alerts tab.
AFR.net?
AFA.net on the Action Alert tab, and click on the Action Alert there and sign the petition.
All right. Again, our desire is that Walmart hear from our folks and when we meet with companies, and we don't make this public when we meet with companies to tell them how we feel about things, we just say stay neutral.
Yeah.
Stay neutral. Mm-hmm. We're not asking you to write a check to American Family Association to support our mission, but you don't have to, kowtow to the human rights campaign.
Mm-hmm.
Every time they come and say, put one out of every five ads, you need to be promoting the LGBT cause, or either you're a bigot, you're a homophobe, you know. So
you know, and it's one thing. It wouldn't surprise us if a company that was founded in Silicon Valley by a far lefty like Jeff Bezos or you know Tim Cook or any others, if they did this. But this is a store that was built in the South with people who have biblical values or who are the customer base.
Mm-hmm.
And their founder, Sam Walton, I mean, he was all about including family and traditional values in their stores.
Yeah.
So it's a departure from where their company has been.
I don't see AFA.net. I don't see where it is. Where?
It's on the Action Alert tab at the top. Click on
here?
On activism.
Okay, where's the Walmart?
All right, we're on radio. People can't see what we're doing here.
Activism,
and click Action Alert.
There we go. Yep. There we go. All right, ladies and gentlemen, the president of the ministry has found out how to use his own website. That's a
step in the right direction.
Step in the right direction. Go to AFA.net and click on Activism. Click on Activism, and you'll see the Walmart information. Again, let Walmart know how you feel about this. That's what we're asking you to do. We'll be back momentarily with more of Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Stay with us.
Next time on Today's Issues, we'll talk with Jan Markell of Understanding the Times.
There's no greater divide in the church today than the style of music being played. And the divide is usually one generation wants one style and another generation wants a different kind of music.
We'll also have news headlines and analysis from American Family News. Don't miss the next Today's Issues. Weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
Hello, I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. You know, on our spiritual heritage tour of Washington, D.C., we go to the Supreme Court. That's one of the places we go on day one, and we visit the inside chambers. We go to where the justices sit, and it's an amazing place to visit, the Supreme Court of the United States. We don't just look at the outside, we go to the inside and see where the justices sit and where oral arguments are heard. So that's just one of the places we visit on one of the days when Washington, D.C., and we also go to Mount Vernon, the home of George and Martha Washington. So we're going in September. June's full. September will be filling up soon. If you want more information on this Spiritual Heritage Tour, go to spiritualheritagetours.com. That's spiritualheritagetours.com.
Fox News Commentary with Todd Starnes.
Hello, Americans. A fight over faith in the public square. That story coming up. Since 1971, Liberty University's values have been defined by a commitment to excellence and a biblical worldview. Their mission of training champions for Christ has remained the foundation of everything they do. It's that mission that propels Liberty students to excellence in the classroom and beyond. More than 550 programs of study, from undergrad to doctoral degrees, effectively preparing students to enter a competitive job market. Visit liberty.edu to learn more. That's liberty.edu. Left-wing activists have ramped up their attacks on a Wisconsin judge running for the state Supreme Court. Brian Hagedorn currently serves on the Court of Appeals. He's also a devout Christian. The state chapter of the Human Rights Campaign says that makes Judge Hagedorn unfit to hold office. They say he would not be able to be fair to the LGBT community because of his religious beliefs. Judge Hagedorn was a guest on my radio program the other day.
People of faith can participate in public life. They shouldn't be relegated to the sidelines. It's okay to be a part of your church. It's okay to practice your faith and to live it out in your life, and you can still be an excellent judge.
The judge points out he's never been accused of being unfair towards anyone in the LGBT community, and he plans on staying in the race to send a message that people of faith have a place in the public arena. I'm Todd Starnes.
That's your Fox News commentary.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Oh, by the way, the president is in Vietnam.
Yes.
Meeting with the North Korean dictator, Kim Jong-un.
Mm-hmm.
Did I finally get it right?
You got it right. You got it right.
Kim Jong-un. Who is a wicked man. The things he does to his countrymen, mm-hmm. they're just, I wish President Trump wouldn't call him.
A nice guy.
No, don't do that, because he's not. I know that President Trump is trying to get something accomplished, so you don't want to unnecessarily provoke Rocket Man by calling him Rocket Man or Shorty or something like that.
He called him Rocket Man.
Oh, he's called him that multiple times.
Right.
But the point is, but also I wouldn't call him. I would just leave it neutral. I'd just say I'm working with the whatever his title is.
Right.
To get some things done that mm-hmm. will make the region and the world more peaceful. Mm-hmm. All right. So we'll see what happens there. Are the Democrats opposed to that too? Fred, they don't want peace over there because Trump gets credit.
Anything that Trump is trying to do, they're against. So, yeah. They
even denuclearizing the Korean Peninsula.
Yeah, they'll downplay that.
They'll downplay that.
Yeah.
If that's able to be accomplished. And I will say this, since President Trump issued his warnings a year ago or so, we haven't had any more
missile tests.
Missile tests.
Nothing.
from the and you did what he did three or four of them during the
yes.
and Obama administration, I know.
And was talking in an obnoxious fashion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio, where our guest now is Bishop E.W. Jackson. He's founder and president of an organization called Staying True to America's National Destiny. He lives in Virginia and is a host here on the Urban Family Radio for us here. Many of you are familiar with our Urban Family channel. He hosts a show daily there and has been our guest many times before. Bishop Jackson, good morning to you.
Good morning, Tim. Great to be with you.
Thank you. Where do you pastor there in Virginia?
I pastor in Chesapeake, Virginia, which is not far from Virginia Beach in Norfolk, a church called the Call Church, which my wife and I pioneered back in 1999.
Now, is that a particular denomination or independent?
I was raised in the Baptist denomination, Tim, but our church is a non-denominational church, and we probably lean a little bit more charismatic, but it's a church for all people.
So you're a Bapticostal?
Right, or a Pentabaptist, whichever way, right?
Well, our good friend Bert Harper here, who has Bert, Southern Baptist pastor for many, many years, he's host of Exploring the Word here on each afternoon, and he calls himself a Bapticostal. So, well, thanks for being on with us. Tell us about Staying True to America's National Destiny, or STAND. That's your organization. Just give us a brief outline of what you guys do and stand for.
Sure, Tim. It was founded on July 4th of 2009 in a response to the election of President Barack Obama, who I felt was going to be highly destructive to everything that America stands for, and that there needed to be a response coming out of the Christian community. And it was founded for that purpose. Our mission is to bring people together across racial and cultural lines to uphold our Judeo-Christian values and principles and constitution and free market ideals and individual liberty. And we have a network of pastors around the country that we work with and a lot of materials that we get out to churches to help them understand how to engage in the public policy debate.
Okay, two or three things we want to talk to you about here. And by the way, how do people connect with your organization?
They can go to standamerica.us, just like it sounds, standamerica.us, and they can sign up there.
You had an ed-op that you wrote about the Jussie Smollett situation. That's the actor from the show Empire, which is on the Fox television network, not Fox News, okay, but it's the same. I don't know if it's the same corporation or not. Probably is. But he was the one in the news, and now has been charged by the Chicago police with creating a false police report, a hoax, if you will. You wrote about this. What did you have to say about it?
Well, I came a little bit differently at it than a lot of people have, Tim, because I really believe that there's a deeper truth here, and the deeper truth is that the left has propagated a real hatred of America and a polemic against America as racist, sexist, homophobic, Islamophobic, just a bunch of very bigoted people living in a very bigoted system that is inherently unfair, and that Jussie Smollett was playing into that narrative, and that's why he knew he was going to get the support of the media and get the support of a lot of leftists, Democrats, and so forth, because that's what they really believe about the country anyway. They do hate President Trump, but I really believe they hate President Trump because President Trump loves and believes in America rather than the other way around.
Of course, you're right. He's a homosexual man, and so he said that this was a homophobic attack. Of course, the whole story was just unbelievable to anybody with half a brain from the get-go. And he was, I can't believe a guy who makes $1.8 million a year on an acting job would risk his whole life on this. And also, like my wife and I were talking last night, we could have helped him a lot better than he came up with this particular crime. Evidently, he and his, whoever did this with him didn't think this thing through very, very much at all. And he's going to, And if this if Jesse thinks he's got problems with the Chicago police and a false report, false police report, he's got bigger problems ahead with the feds because he used the U.S. mail to send himself a threatening note and included powder, which turned out to be aspirin.
Which is a felony.
10 years.
That's right.
Maximum 10 years. So he's got... Hey, go ahead.
And Tim, look, why would somebody making that much money, whose career is on track, he's succeeding, do this? I really believe that the left has created a kind of cult in which nothing matters but the promotion of the narrative that we believe.
Right.
And I think they'll do almost anything to promote it. And, of course, he may well have destroyed his career in doing so now that it's been exposed as a hoax.
Yeah.
But even $1.8 billion apparently was worth risking to prove that America's really a terrible place to live in, even though he's earning lots of money and getting all the benefits of the great country we have.
I know, and I'll tell you one thing. I'm not going out at sub-zero 2 a.m. in the morning in Chicago for any sandwich, okay?
Right.
And if I make almost $2 million a year, somebody's bringing a sandwich to my apartment, okay? Or I'm making my own, all right? Anyway.
Yeah. It had some holes in it from the beginning, didn't it?
Oh, good. Come on, man. You can do better than that. You can do better than that if you're going to make a hoax up. At least make something that's halfway. Mega men at 2 a.m. in downtown Chicago.
Negative temperatures.
Come on. Well, these guys supposed to have driven up from southern Illinois just waiting on hoping Jesse will come out at 2 a.m. in the morning for a sandwich? Give me a break. All right. So, you know, Bishop, also I know you deal with your organization ministry deals with, as you said, race issues, race relations. You know, This when this kind of thing come up with Jesse Smollett, you know, obviously people who don't want a race war in this country are hoping, please, Lord, don't let this be true, you know, because it doesn't help. It hurts race relations, regardless of whether you're a Democrat or a Republican, conservative, liberal, or whatever you want to call yourself. But, you know, Bishop, my perception on this thing is the vast, vast majority of Americans, be they Democrat or Republican, conservative or liberal, black or white, the vast, or Hispanic, or whatever you may be, Asian American, the vast, vast majority of Americans, you know what, are decent people who are kind-hearted and generous people they're not racist, okay, and they don't want to see people subjected to discrimination. You're going to find your knuckleheads every once in a while. Are you going to find people who have racist tendencies? They're out there. But you know what? You got 330 million people, okay? But I just find, as I travel the country, maybe you do the same, most people are decent people who don't have any ill will against other people because they're not the same skin color.
And Tim, I'll go it even one step further. I have said, to the chagrin of many on the left, America never has been, is not, and never will be a racist country. What America is an imperfect country. Mm-hmm. But in as much as we've had racial problems, there have at every point in our history been people who have said, you can't treat people unfairly based on the color of their skin. I mean, my God, we fought a civil war over this issue. Obviously, there were many, many people at every step along the way who said, look, we're wrong on this. Mm. And I think you're absolutely right. I think most Americans have recognized some of the historic mistakes we've made. What we want to do is follow the golden rule, which is in keeping with our Judeo-Christian values and principles. But when you have people promoting the idea that, did you know, for example, that one of the things they're teaching in colleges and universities is that if you say, anybody who wants to succeed in America can, that is a racist statement. So that's a microaggression, right? That's a racist statement. So when you have people who promote that kind of division, no wonder we keep hearing this issue over and over again, because there are people who just don't want to let it go because it benefits them. They use it politically.
You know what? I live in Mississippi, obviously, and I guess 100 years from now, we'll be still getting movies made about us, about, you know, about the rednecks who are racist or whatever. But I've lived here, and you know what? Every day I see in my hometown, I see blacks opening the doors for whites. I see whites open the doors for blacks. I see restaurants where servers are getting tipped by black folks, mm-hmm. and vice versa, and go to school together and work together. And it's just like that's 99.9% of everybody every day. And you get, 18 people at Ole Miss the other day who were 20, whatever it was, marching with a Confederate flag, and that goes viral. You know, yeah. I mean, it's just like,
right.
It's just like, anyway, Bishop, thanks so much, brother, for your, we look forward to having you on more. I wanted to talk to you about some other stuff, but we'll do that another day. Again, appreciate your ministry and your work and your joining us on Urban Family. How can people get in touch with you again?
Well, Tim, let me say, I'm honored to be a part of Urban Family Talk and to have an opportunity to express my point of view to our great audience. People can get in touch with me at standamerica.us. Go to the website. They can find out more about us. They can sign up. And the name, Staying True to America's National Destiny, Tim, I'll simply say, means I believe God created this nation, used our founding fathers to create a nation that was not based upon race or ethnic division, but was based upon principles. And I believe that's our destiny, to fulfill that. And I believe we're going to succeed in spite of the naysayers who want to tear the country down.
And you know, Bishop, one place where we don't need quotas is the NBA. Because I don't think a lot of us want to see a bunch of white people playing basketball.
Trying to dunk.
Huh? We need to keep it things like they are. So if the quotas ever come to America, we need to leave the NBA alone. You don't have to comment on that, Bishop. You can leave me alone to be criticized by right-wing watchers, whoever's going after me on that one. Thank you, Bishop. Appreciate it. God bless you, brother.
Thank you, Tim. God bless you.
Okay. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I am Tim Wildman. Thank you for listening to AFR with Walker and Fred. And Abraham Hamilton III joins us every Wednesday. He is a constitutional attorney, so we usually talk legal matters with Abe. And he also serves as a public policy analyst for us here at AFA. And if that isn't enough, he's got his own radio show each afternoon called the Hamilton Corner from 5 to 6 o'clock here on American Family Radio. And more importantly, is a husband and father to how many?
Five. Single.
Five future conservative Christian voters who will change the culture. That's those kids are wonderful. And you do train them in the Bible and the Constitution, don't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, you said future. We were listening to my son. We were playing chess.
Your son, how old? Which
he
son?
He is eight now.
Christian.
My oldest, Christian. And listening to some news, and Bernie Sanders was on TV. He said, "Daddy, this man just said he wants free college. Doesn't he realize there's nothing free in the world?"
Gee, where did he hear that?
I got a clap for young 8-year-old Christian.
He got an A+ there.
That's what he said. He said, "Daddy, how will the teachers get their money? What about the people who make the food? What about the people who make the books?
Eight years old, and you already got.
He's thinking for himself. Right.
That had to
doing.
Make you proud right there, didn't it?
I was proud to hear him do that.
And when does he get his own show?
Hey, not too far along. Better, don't slip up, Abe.
Little Hamilton Corner.
High five, Fred.
That was good.
The Little Hamilton Corner.
Don't let them hear that. They'll be asking
Saturday
about
mornings here on AFR. Oh, man, that's good stuff. All right, Fred, you wanted to ask Abe about what issue here?
Oh, I've got 14 or so. we've got an argument before the United States Supreme Court today on a 40-foot-tall concrete cross. Sits on a large grassy highway median in Maryland, and some atheists and others don't like that. And this case has been buzzing around now for a while, and it ended up Supreme Court because there was a split decision down below. Mm-hmm. So where do you think this is going?
Is that today, by the way?
Yeah.
Or arguments are today.
Yes.
Yeah. I am very excitedly looking to the outcome of this case.
Okay.
Which we won't know till June.
Which we won't know till June. The argument that's being advanced by the American Humanist Association is because this war memorial erected in 1925 by the mothers whose children died fighting for America in World War I. They wanted to honor their sons by having this memorial that just happens to be shaped as a cross. Obviously, the implication from this case is if it goes in the wrong direction, there'll be plenty of other memorials around the country that have to be addressed. But because of, thank God for the most recent appointments to the Supreme Court, it is very likely that this case will not only go in our favor, but we will see a rebalancing of Establishment Clause jurisprudence and analysis as a result of this case. To the humanists who would assert that a cross on public property in, a memorial in the shape of a cross on public property establishes a Christian denomination, it no more establishes a Christian denomination than the removal of a cross would establish national atheism.
Sure.
It's a ridiculous assertion, but I think this, we have the right makeup, hopefully, at the Supreme Court to address this issue at this time. So I'm actually looking forward to the outcome of this case.
We got crosses.
Arlington.
Arlington. Cemeteries out, but not only Arlington, yes. Certainly there are thousands at Arlington, but we have crosses all over the country at
yes.
cemeteries.
Yes, we do. And what I think this is a case of overshooting, outkicking your coverage. You know, because the regressives among us have staked their entire future on the judiciary. Exactly. The litigation here started maybe 4 or 5 years ago when the bench was decidedly made up of a different type of judge and justices. Well, now that it's made its way to the Supreme Court as it's currently constituted, I think we could see a 5-4 decision, but more than just ruling that the cross is constitutional, but completely recalibrating Establishment Clause jurisprudence and analysis.
That's why the whole 2016 election was crucial on many fronts, not just the judiciary, but the judiciary has become, for better or worse, it's become very, very important when it comes to lawmaking or you know, rulings.
Interpreting law in
our country. And so, you know, this is one case, Abe, where you have Hillary Clinton in the White House, you get Merrick Garland on the Supreme Court, then this case, and then you have Kennedy retire, then you get another one. This case could go not just in the wrong direction, but you're talking about potentially tearing down crosses on public property throughout the whole nation.
Throughout the entire nation. And again, the entire faulty understanding of the Establishment Clause is an intentional, in my opinion, misunderstanding of Thomas Jefferson's 8 words in his personal letter to the Danbury Baptist about the erection of the separation of church and state. The constitutional provision exists for the sole reason and the sole purpose of preventing the establishment of a national denomination. That's what exists to prohibit, to prohibit a repeat in America of what existed for centuries in England.
You know, our country in the, I forget which, you would know which court case this was. It was in the late 1800s, I want to say 1890s, where the United States Supreme Court said that our country is a Christian nation.
Yeah.
If you look around, I'm paraphrasing now. That's dangerous to do from an 1890s Supreme Court decision. But they said, in essence, because of everything we see in our country, we are a Christian nation. We are a Christian country. Now, we weren't officially a Christian in a sense that, you know, we're a theocracy or anything that. But because Christianity had such a dominant role in our culture and in our moral fabric and in our nation, that we were a Christian country. Anyway, we've gone from that to
where we are now.
With these humanist and atheist groups saying we need to tear down crosses in cemeteries all over America.
Abe, I want to transition to this one more topic, and I don't think you knew that we were going to bring this up, so forgive me for that. But UC Davis in California, they had a professor that was suspended for saying this about police officers. This is 2 to 3 different statements put together about law enforcement. The first statement is from this UC Davis professor. His name's Joshua Clover. He said, "I am thankful," quote, "I am thankful that every living cop will one day be dead. Some by their own hand, some by others. Too many of old age." That was one tweet. Another tweet, this was in 2014, said, quote, "I mean, comma, it's easier to shoot cops when their backs are turned. No? Question mark." And then lastly, and then I'll let you comment on this, as far as whether he might be could be prosecuted. Quote, people think that cops need to be reformed. They need to be killed, end quote.
Now, you're talking about a University of California at Irvine professor?
Yes, this is a professor.
Okay.
These statements are now being publicized, and the school is suspending him.
Okay.
Not firing him, suspending him. But I'm wondering, as far as like a district attorney or a prosecutor, is this First Amendment, or is this threatening law enforcement?
Yeah, the unfortunate reality is that the fortunate reality is that the First Amendment gives us broad protection. Any district attorney is going to analyze these statements based on the immediacy or the imminence of action being able to follow these threats. So because they're going to say that there are no threats directed at an individual and there is no imminent risk of bodily harm to police officers from this threat, that it won't be prosecuted. But UC Davis has to ask themselves a question as to whether or not it is conducive for their university's viability going forward to maintain a professor who has these types of opinions.
Sure.
I would say no.
Yeah.
Let's switch gears here. The United Methodist Church, you're not – what denomination, or were you raised in a denomination?
No, I was raised in a non-denomination.
Independent church?
Yes.
One of the largest Protestant denominations in the country.
Yeah.
The second only to the Southern Baptist is the United Methodist Church, and they –
they had a meeting in St. Louis wrapped up last night,
right?
And they voted 438 to 384 on what they call a traditional plan. Basically, it's this, is upholding biblical teaching on homosexuality, because there's been a big division in that church, and that vote really showed it, that they wanted to embrace homosexuality, homosexual marriage, homosexual clergy. What's interesting, Abe, what happened in this vote last night, what's getting credit were the delegates from Africa, and Mark Tooley of the Institute on Religion and Democracy, who we interview frequently, was at this meeting. He gives the bishops coming from the African continent credit for leading the denomination back towards biblical integrity.
So
yeah.
we're going to hear him, or
we have a clip of Mark Tooley.
Okay,
here. Cut number one.
Yes, it was miraculous. For 100 years, liberal theology has dominated the United Methodist Church, its bishops, its agencies, its seminaries. So logically, orthodoxy and traditional Methodist evangelical beliefs should have been suppressed years ago, but somehow they survived. But as a minority in the U.S., but it was the sudden rise of the overseas church, thanks to Methodist missions early in the 20th century. Suddenly there were millions of new members in Africa, and thanks to them and their commitment to the Bible and their Christian witness and their votes at this general conference, the church will not follow the path of other liberal imploding U.S. mainline.
Yeah, I actually read the remarks from Dr. Jerry Kula on the radio 2 days ago, which many of the attendees to the general conference attribute the turning of the tide even in this meeting, because the tone and tenor was moving toward the adoption of what was called the One Church Plan, which is basically abandoning scriptural orthodoxy and embracing the LGBTQIAP plus political agenda in the
actually,
church context.
Ironically, probably divide the church.
Yes.
Even though it's called the One
Church. But
who
was he?
Yes, he was a theologian and an academic from a seminary in Africa, Liberia, Africa.
Yeah.
Where he says, listen, if you guys choose to walk that way, know that you are walking away from the Bible and walking away from us, because the African brethren will never go that way.
So the bottom line is a majority of United Methodists voted in favor of keeping the current position of the church, which is consistent with the Bible, and that is that homosexuality, as they call it in the Book of Discipline of the United Methodist Church, is, quote,
incompatible
with Christian teaching.
That's right.
Which is true.
Amen.
But it was like 55-45 in favor of keeping the biblical standard, which is good, but it still shows serious problems.
Got to remain vigilant because it's not over, unfortunately.
Yes.
We'll be back in 5 minutes with more of today's issues here on American Family Radio.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.